The book of Acts, chapter 27. I was talking to Sister MacDonald this afternoon, well, a couple of times today, and she asked me, she said, "Are you still going in the same direction?" I told her we had a Holy Ghost service last night. She said, "Are you going in the same direction last night that you were going to go? Are you going that way tonight?" I said, "No, I'm not." And so God has changed everything around. So the man said, "You pray for me while I preach." Acts 27, I want to read verse number 20. When you have it, say amen. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight." I want to reach way back in my ministry, way back in many different states. The message I'll be delivering you tonight, many times. But I learned a long time ago just a fresh anointing. Acts 27, verse number 20. We read in this concerning in the own star of the chapter, we find how the centurion and the owner of the ship would not take the wise counsel or the advice of the man of God. That's in the year 2004. They will not take the wise counsel of the man of God. "I want to do it my way, my thing, have it your own way." They do that in restaurants, but we don't do that in the house of God. We don't do that concerning the things of God. "I don't have it my way. I do what God says do." And that's the way each of us should do. So we find that the Bible tells us that the Word of God made mention. They said, "Sirs, we perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage. Nevertheless, they believe the master centurion, the master and the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul." We always believing somebody else. We're always looking to someone else. We find it wasn't long. The Bible tells us, I love what it says here. It tells us, supposing they had obtained their purpose. I've seen a lot of folk get saved on Friday night, and they feel like they've obtained their purpose, and they're ready to pastor church come Sunday morning. Come on, you smile now. I mean, "I've ought to reach my purpose. I've reached it. And when the south wind blew softly," but they forgot the prophecy of the man of God. They traveled some 35-40 miles in studying, we'll find. And then a Euryclidon came up. We read how Paul, the old pastor, had been praying and in a process of praying. I noticed this. The Bible said that you'll find this, that Paul said, "And we let her drive." So it'd be legal to let your wife drive sometime. That's in your Bible. Verse number 15, "Let her drive." Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, I love it when you get spiritual, don't you? I love it when you got the Word of God to back you up. But we find in the process of that, they did everything they could. They lightened the ship, and when all hope that we should be saved and everything, but the man of God came, the Bible said, after long abstinence, the man of God finding him a place to pray. Realizing they didn't do what I told them to do, what I advised them to do. Now, by God's help and grace, I'm not turning against them. I'm on the ship with them. 276 souls are involved. I've got to pray. I've got to pull down heaven. We've got to cast out hell. Some way, somehow, we've got to get out of this. And the man of God began to pray. And the Bible tells us that he came and said, I've heard from God. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I'm believing God is going to help us. I'm believing God is going to move for us. So we find that God did, and God provided, and God ministered. They cast out four anchors, thank God, and they wished for day. I said, they wished for day. I want to look at it here in London. Many years ago, there's a famous painting by a man named Mr. Frost, in which Mr. Frost, the devil, in this painting, Mr. Frost and the devil were in a chess game together concerning his soul. And so we find in that particular painting of how that if Mr. Frost lost the game, he lost his soul. And the name of the painting is called Checkmate. So we find checkmate means a move in chess that checks the opponent's king so that it cannot be put into safety, thus ending a game. It is hopeless jeopardy. It is defeated completely. The king is dead. And so we find here that it's left at that. In that painting, it shows Mr. Frost is sitting on one side of the chess table, the devil on the other. Sweat is running down Mr. Frost's face, and he realizes it's a checkmate. He realizes the king is dead, and I've lost my soul, and there is no hope. I've lost my soul. I have been checkmated. In this painting, we find that over a period of time, it hangs there in an art gallery in London. A world-famous chess player was in that area many years ago. He had heard about the painting. He wanted to go and look at the painting. He stood there, he observed that painting. An hour went by. Another hour went by. Almost 3 hours went by, and he stood there. And he began to say these words, it is a lie, it is a lie, it is a lie. A crowd began to gather. The man that owned the art gallery came around. He said, sir, it is original. It's not a bogus. This is an original painting. Mr. Frost himself painted this painting. He said, it is. He said, I'm not saying it's not an original. I'm not saying it is a bogus. But he said, what I'm saying is, Mr. Frost has one more move left. When all hope that we should be saved was lost, I've got one more move left. I want to preach that to us tonight by the help and grace of God. There's two or three places I want to go to in God's Word where there were those that were checkmated, where it was those that looked that there was no way out, but yet God came by and God moved for them. We find in the book of Exodus how that God had moved upon Moses, that leader. God had brought him out of the backside of a desert. And we find as he began to lead God's people out of bondage. And in the process of leading them out of bondage, the Bible tells us that they got down to the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And we find the fear of man. Could I tell us when we get our eyes off of God, brother, when we begin to look toward man, then fear comes. They began to murmur. They began to complain. They became ungrateful. And they said, we're better off in Egypt. Great God, how are you better off eating onions and garlic? Say amen. I mean, man, you eat a passel of onions and garlic, you're going to pray for them afar off, brother. That's right. I mean, you can get that Benny Chicken anointing. I mean, they'll fall out everywhere. So we find they begin to grumble. They begin to complain to the man of God. They said, what are we going to do? Hell is saying, checkmate. Hell says, there's no way out. You're going to die right here. The Egyptians are going to come. The Red Sea's before us. Obstacles on either side of us. Pharaoh is behind us. What are we going to do? And the Bible tells us, I love this. And the man of God began to call out upon the Lord. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When it appears, sir, that devil's got me surrounded, when it appears like every way is blocked, God's got one more move left. When it looks like bills are piling up, God's got one more move left. When sickness comes, God's got one more move left. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. In other words, he said, you shall shut up. Somebody said, you don't read that way. Yeah, Doug, you shall shut up. You just hold your peace. Had a man one time, had doing some things, come against me. I had got a couple of phone calls. I'm telling you, I done made up my mind, had it all just right, what I was going to say. Had everything laid out. I was going to spit it out pure vanilla, brother, just like it was. I mean, we got in service that night. I was preaching for a brother. At the service, I was going to call this man and talk to him. Got in service. They had young people sing, some children sang. Then they had an adult choir come to sing. And I'm sitting there. I wanted to get on with the preaching business where we could go make the phone call. The youth choir got up to sing. And when you hadn't got it, you want your saint to sing a dozen songs. But when you got it, let's get it on. That's right. But I wanted to go make that phone call. And the man they got up to sing, the youth choir did. They started to come down and the youth director said, let's sing one more song. And he said, they begin to sing that song, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory shall be mine. Could I tell you, sir, that's been 20 years ago, I never made the phone call. That's right, I held my peace. We've got people sitting in the house of God, running their mouth, shooting their mouth, brother, off when their brain's not loaded. Say, man, what we need to do is learn just to hold our peace. Come on, lift your hands and let's love God. He said, you tell the children of Israel to go forward. The Bible tells us that he took that rod. He said, you stretch it out and divide it. You take the rod. You take the word of God. When the devil says, checkmate. When the devil says, you can't move. When hell said, it's not going to work. Get God's divine word. He took that rod. Thank God I love this. He'd already said to Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh said, if I see your face again, you're going to die. Moses said, I will see thy face again no more. Sure, there are things and trials that in the past we'll never face again. Sure, there are things we're going to face in the future, but there's something God is going to help us to get through we'll never face again. I love this. Thank God the Bible said he stretched forth that rod. When he did, I'm telling you, the waters began to roll back and dried up. And God sent a wind. You know what God did? God just took a deep breath. That's what he did. God just took a deep breath, the breath of life in the nostrils of man. It'd be legal for him to just blow away for children of God could walk across. I'm telling you, that's what he did. And we find, brother, they went across on dry ground. I love what the black man, the Bible said in the Word of God, that the water was congealed. I love what the black man said. He said that the water back in the back would wonder, what's going on up there? What's happening up there? We flooding out all around here. What's going on? And said he sent a message up front and asked them what's happening. And he sent a message back and said, there's a man up here talking like God and we got to do what he says. Thank God, talking like God, we got to do what he says. And the water was congealed. I mean, it's like Jell-O. Thank God, just like Jell-O. I like to go eat that Jell-O, brother, that's there, that's got that apples and such as that in it. Can you imagine? I mean, to tell you, here's a big octopus. I mean, you know, walking by, and I'm telling you, Mr. Octopus, you're waving at him. I mean, big sea fish and all that, and they just scoping things out. I never saw it on this wise. Thank God when God's got hold of it. I said, when God's in control, we'll go home and say, I never saw it on that wise. The devil may say, checkmate. But God will bring me through. When it looks like I'm not going to get through this one. When it appears it's bogging down, sir. When it looks like it's checkmate. I'm not going to pull out of this trial. Could I tell us tonight, God has got one more move left. Preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know the bills is piled up in my home. You don't know what the doctor has come out and said. Listen, sir, let's go beyond that. Thank God, let's go beyond that. I was reading an article just this afternoon where a man of God was preaching on 300 and some odd radio stations. And God had the word of knowledge would work through him. And in the process of preaching, he says these words. He just steps in and just takes, you know, gets completely away from his message. And he says these words, put that gun down. Put that gun down. In his mind, he's wondering, why did God have me to say that? But after the radio program was over, in that certain area, a man called, a man that had walked into a room, a man that had turned the radio knob up, sir. He wanted the radio going where nobody could hear the shot, perhaps. And in the process, he took a revolver, put it up to his head, cocked it, was going to pull the trigger. And a voice said, put that gun down. Thank God of heaven. Could I tell you, it may look like you're backed up. It may look like your devil saying, checkmate. But I want to shout it. God's got another move left. I said, God has got one more move left. Come on, lift your hands and love God. Woo! What am I going to do now? I'm going to quit my murmuring. I'm going to quit my complaining. Thank God. Listen to me, sir. When they came out of Egypt bondage, the commandment was to go forward. God has never told His church to retreat. God has never told His church to throw in a towel. It's always go forward. It's always seek. It's always seek and find. So we find that God blessed them. In the book of Daniel, this has been preached and it's threadbare, but it's legal to preach it again. I mean, over and over and over again. The Bible said, Nebuchadnezzar, you know him, don't you? That's what the black man called him, wasn't Nebuchadnezzar? Huh? One preacher walked in a pulpit. And his thing was, he always preached on the first word, you know, that he run across. He flipped that Bible open one night, Brother Shaw. He said, that is right there. Nabuck Shaver, he says. He said, get ready, church. I'm going to cut it close tonight. Woo! Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, we find a man wrapped up in self. We find a man involved in himself, set up an image. And he said, bow down to this image. 90 foot high, 12 foot wide in the plain of Dura. In the valley. Could I tell you that's where hell wants to take us to? I mean in a valley. And the devil would like for us to bow down. Don't you notice this? He said, fall down. You fall down in the midst. Several times you're going to find in the midst. But you fall down. O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He said, you fall down When you hear the sound of the music, when you hear the psaltery, the flute, the cornet, the harp, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fire furnace. You fall down to the music. You fall down to the move and the sway of the music. Brother, we've got folk today want to come to God's house. They want to shout and then go out and listen to country music. We got people want to come in and shout and listen to the music of the world. I come to tell you tonight, thank God George Jones had to go. I said all the rest of them had to go. Say amen. When we get good and saved, we talk about sanctified. When we really get sanctified, brother, there'll be a cleaning up. I said there'll be a cleaning out. There'll be a coming out. Hell wants to get you and I to a place. The king said, I'm going to give you one more opportunity to bow down. I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down. I was in a certain movement for about 16 and a half years. There was a presbyter. I was in a church. We running 200. I was pastoring over 200 folk, and I think I was pastoring about 175 of them. Come on, you smile now. But I wouldn't go to their youth rallies. I wouldn't take my young people because they said it's legal to mix bathe. They said it's all right to cut your hair. And man, we've heard that this week, and thank God for it. Wear jewelry and a whole shooting match. But I'm telling you, I remember one day I was in the hospital, and I met the presbyter. He and I were on the elevator together. And he asked me, he said, Brother MacDonald, why don't you bring your young people to youth rallies? I said, well, we're usually busy. We got things going on. He said, I want you to tell me the truth. He didn't want me to tell him the truth. But I was at a checkmate situation. I said, I had a checkmate situation, and he was giving me one more chance to bow down. He was giving me one more opportunity to bow down. About that time, the elevator opened up, the door, and neither it wasn't on the floor. Either one of us wanted to get off on it. I said, let's get off right here. Let's just get off right here. We walked on where I could take you to the place. I mean, we stepped out, and about an hour later, finally, we left one another. You know, I thought Russell was dead. I said, I thought I had him crucified. I thought I had him buried. But he resurrected while I was talking to that man. I said, he resurrected. I got red in the face. I said, I don't believe you cigarette sucking, pipe pulling, beer gushing, women running around look like a reject from a witch factory. Say amen. Got enough gold on, great God, to build a small cap. I mean, this one, some Jezebel, give out a message. Some Ahab, give the interpretation. Come on, you smile now. Great God of heaven, hear me tonight, sir. We may split hair on some things, but holiness is right. You know what he said? He said, I followed your ministry through the years. And he said, here's what he said. He said, you cut a few corners here, cut a few corners there, you probably go somewhere. I just stood there. I said, you know, I'd probably go to hell. Amen. Woo! I said, I'd probably go to hell. He said, no need me talking to you. I said, you're right, pal. You're right. Amen. I would not, great God, help me while I preach. I mean, there's a man come on to get married, him and a girl. I found out one of them been married before. I said, not legal for me to do that. But he went ahead and did that. Great God, come out here. I'll tell you something, brother. We got those to back us up against the wall in the Red Seas and in the lion's den of this life. Amen. I'll give you $100 a week if you'll bow down to me. I'll come to your church if you'll bow down to me. Say amen. If you'll let me get up and sing. If you'll let me get up and preach. Lord, I've got to help. I'm telling you, let's get back to holiness. I said, let's get back to holiness.
Step back to righteousness.
Checkmate. You're going to have another chance to bow down. They had boldness, courage, and faith. And they said, O King, now God's going to deliver us. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not. We got some folk in the church that need to tell the devil, I will not. I will not. I had a man got upset with me because he didn't get voted in an office. He told me, he said, let some of these other guys get voted in. I said, okay. He said, my name comes up. You know, it's time I'm not interested. I'm backing out. I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, don't get ahead of me here. That happened at your church? I mean, the name brought up, I said, he said he didn't want it. We'll vote on somebody else. Man voted somebody else in after service. He come in and said, how'd you know? He and I walked back. I said, wait a minute, pal. Me and you need to go in another room. We need to go in another room. We need to look face to face. You know, a lot of folk run there motoring fun to somebody. I said, me and you step right back in here. We step back in a room. He said, that meeting went just like you wanted it to go. I said, where you at, man? You fall off a nanner boat or something? I said, you the one. You one, you said you wanted this and this and this. I mean, tell you, he got cranked up. About that time, one of the young men in the church stepped through the door, going to pick up an instrument, guitar case or something. He said, oh, I'm in the wrong room. I'm in the wrong room. He turned around and went out. That man ran that motor for a little while till he finally ran out of gas. I said, all right, time me to talk. Time me to say something. So I said, you've been to every church in this area. Every church you've gone cause trouble. Every church you run your mouth. Every church called you put a little money in. Come on here. I'm telling you, he thought he had me checkmated. I said he thought he had me checkmated. Give me somebody with a backbone and a soul. Give me somebody with enough guts to stand up and say, hey pal, it don't work that way here. It don't run that way here. Tell you what, if I was out there, I'd be saying, glory to God. Come on, get your color back. You're pale. We got a nurse over here in this section. I might get her to check you out here in a short. You've been everywhere. I said, I'm not your boom, push button. I'm preaching on checkmate. You know what happened? I became his best friend. He became mine. He's gone. He left this world a few years ago. But listen to me. I'm going to give you a chance to bow down. I'm going to give you a chance to fall down. We will not. Give me some that will not. I will not as long as I'm with this group. I will not as long as I'm in this area. I will not as long as I'm preaching here. Great God of heaven, give me some people tonight that will say, I will not. I will not. Checkmate, a time for checkmate. Listen to it. They threw him in the burning fire furnace. I want you to notice this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. And the Bible tells us he looked in the midst of it. In the midst of it. And when he looked, he saw it. He said, did not we throw three men bound? Are not there four men loosed? Four men loosed. Listen to me carefully. God may, during your standing firm, God may, during that time of I'm not going to bend, I'm not going to budge, I'm not going to burn, God may let you go in the midst of it, sir, that one Nebuchadnezzar can see Christ. Come on now. I said that one Nebuchadnezzar, on your job, whatever it may be, the Bible tells us, they said, we will not move. We're not going to bow down. We've made up our mind, this is the way it's going to be. Thank God it's going to be that way. Give me men and women tonight, no matter where they're facing, lions, den, fire, furnaces, Goliaths, whatever it may be, the devil has something before you. He has something before me. The checkmate will come. There is no hope, but thanks God, him, God's got one more move left. One more move left. One more. In the crucifixion of Christ, we find they had tried, they crucified, they put him in the tomb, and hell was screaming, checkmate. Hell was saying, I've got him now. Hell was saying, he'll never come out. I love this. Listen to me. I mean, here it is, the beating, the ridiculing, and the mocking of it. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, after 3 days, God had another move left. We find in the book of John, I was reading, in the book of John, chapter 19, then Pilate therefore took him. And again, the Bible said they took Jesus. And again, it said they took his garments. And the Bible said they took the body of Jesus. Then they took away the body of Jesus. In the process of that, God spoke to me. And He said to my heart, He said, they took Him and they scourged Him. They took Him and they led Him away. They took His garments. They took His body. And they took Him. Joseph of Arimathea came and took His body. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, they put Him in the tomb. But God spoke to me and said, who took Him out of there? Thank God, who took Him out of there? Brother, they took Him. They scourged Him. They mocked Him and they beat Him. But thank God the Bible said in the book of Romans, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. God said, I took Him out of there. God said, I brought Him out of there. I want to shout it tonight. Hell said, what are you going to do? Here it is. The black preacher said, death, can you hold him? He said, oh yeah. I've been holding him down through the years. On the first day, the second day, death, have you got him? I got him. On the third day, death, have you got him? He said, something happened this morning. Something happened this morning. He came out this morning. I like what the story told concerning of the little boy in Philadelphia, little shoeshine boy. He was standing in front of a window and saw a large picture of the crucifix. And he was standing there looking at it, tears running down his face. A man walked up there, was looking at the picture also. Little boy spoke and said, Mister, they beat him. Mister, they spit upon him. Mister, they crucified him. They killed him. And they put him in a tomb. He said, about that time, little boy turned and walked away. The man said, I stood there and kept looking at the picture. In a moment, he said, I heard his little feet running back to me. His little boy was running back to me. Said he ran back to me and pulled on my coat. He said, Mister, he said, my forgot to tell you, he didn't stay dead. Hallelujah.
Thank God. I'll tell you something, beloved. The devil said we have got him. I said the devil said we've got him. Let me tell you something, sir. The next time hell comes around. I said the next time hell comes around. You ask the devil who's got the keys to his front door. Glory to God of heaven. Come on here. I give unto thee the keys of death and of hell. Christ got the keys. I said Christ got the keys. When hell says, check, bud, God said, I got another move left. Death couldn't hold him. I said, death couldn't hold him. Walked in the carters of the damned. Give me the keys. God had another move left. Listen to me. We're in an hour. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pushing 80,000 now. Wouldn't surprise any of us if the number didn't reach 100,000. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, and on and on and on. See, I'm not here to spit hair with you, whether you're pre, mid, or post-toasties, or you're going to pan it out. Hallelujah. Huh? God got one more move left. I said, God got another move left. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward comes with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Behold, I come quickly. In this day of trouble, in this day even so, come, Lord Jesus. God got another move left. I said, God's got another move left. The devil stands. Homosexuals, lesbians, great God. I'm telling you, queers running around. God help us. Hey, say amen to me. We're living in an ungodly time. We're living in an awful time. What time are we living in? We're living in a checkmate time. We're living in a checkmate time. Christ is going to come. I said, Christ is going to come for the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We. The writer said, we. What are you trying to say? The man was looking for him. Thank you. But we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. He's not talking about the speed, but the sudden appearance. They tell me, brother, before your eye ever twinkles, it's already twinkled 10,000 times. Huh? The sudden appearance. God got another move now. Checkmate. Amen. And at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When's he coming, Brother McMahon? I know not. But I want to live like he's coming the next moment. Several years ago, I was pastoring a different church, and my son Timmy was going to Orange Lake School in that locality, going to first through the sixth grade was what it is. I think he was in the first grade. And every day, Sister McDonald or myself would take him, pick him up. One afternoon when I went to pick him up at school, I'd pull in, park. They always had two, you know, different first grade classes would come out. They had so many, they let one come out and then others come out. So I'm standing there, and this little boy that I'd noticed him several days, he was a fine young man. I mean, this boy was well fed. You hear me? And he came out of school and had, you know, a little picture there of a barn or whatever. You know how they do that they had made that day, want to give to mama. He came across, they wasn't walking. This guy's wobbling, you hear me? I mean, he just coming right across. And I noticed him, he looking around, Brother Bruce, for his mother, trying to find that car that, you know, but he couldn't find her. I'm standing by my car, and I saw him over there, his little lip begin to quiver. And in his quivering, you know, he's looking for mama. I walked over where he was, put my hand around him. I said, son, she'll be here in a little bit. I mean, people looking at me, man, like I fell out of a well. I mean, I'm trying to comfort him. Your mother will be here in a moment, son. She's always come. She'll be here. And about that time, I looked up, coming down the road, driving just a little bit faster, perhaps. I mean, she quipped that came in with that car. He looked and saw his mother. She opened that door, pushed the door open. He jumped in that car where his mom was. He was crying. He threw his arms around her. She was crying. Great God, I stood there. I was crying. I'm telling you. That's right. I mean, I cried. I saw that. It blessed me. It touched my heart. Amen, Brother Ben. It was an odd place. I said it was an odd place for the Holy Ghost to come on a man. It's an odd place in a schoolyard for the Holy Ghost to come on me. Spirit of God came on me. He said, son, just like that little boy had been waiting and weeping and crying, waiting on his mother. He said, you've been waiting, weeping, and crying, waiting on me. He said, just as sure as that mother came and got him, I'm going to come get you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, let hell say checkmate. One day we're going to be caught up. One day we're going to be tucked up. I said, one day we're going to be tucked up. Allow me here. Hey, man, allow me right here. I was preaching a meeting 32 years ago. The process of preaching that meeting, I was to go there 1 week, ended up staying there 3 weeks. God had me, I stayed in an old schoolhouse. God knows my heart what I'm saying. During that time, I sought the Lord the majority of time out there, Brother Ben. I sought God. Amen. We had a move of God. It rained. They were pupwood haulers all around that worked there in that area. Therefore, they couldn't go to the woods. Therefore, they came to church. We had people saved. I'm telling you, every night people coming and getting saved. One night I'd already went out to the church, and I walked out the side door of the church, Pastor. And when I did, I went out and I was going back to the old schoolhouse I was staying in, and I passed a graveyard. And I stood there a moment. And Brother Ben, while I stood there, I saw the rapture of the church. I saw graves opening. I kept standing there, and there was other graves that were not disturbed. I started to turn and walk off. When I did, God spoke to me and said, "You stand here another moment." I stood there, and as I did, I watched a man come from the other side of the cemetery. And as he came, he was in a black robe and had a black hood over his head. And he had a sickle on his shoulder. And he was laughing and said, "You waited too late. You waited too late. You waited too late. Could I tell you, hear me, beloved, hear me tonight, there are those that are going to wait too late." I said, "There are those that are going to wait too late." Listen, sir, when the Lord comes, when He comes in the rapture of the church, when He comes to catch us away, we should be sitting in the house of God like we're sitting here tonight, caught up to be with the Lord. And already those in the cemetery have been caught up. I said, they've been caught up, great God of heaven. The devil said, "Checkmate." Stand with me all over this. They watched him while he was caught up. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not here to split hair with anybody. I'm just asking you. The devil's saying, "Checkmate. I've got this church. And this church isn't going anywhere. I'm going to tell the devil and every one of his demons and every imp of hell throughout this world, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. One day, there's going to be a catching away." When I first got saved, there used to be a song. You ever hear that song, Rapture? Did you ever hear that? How many of you heard that? Well, I'll meet you in the rapture, that song, yes. But there was a, you know, it was like a, you know, they were talking and calling in. And they called this radio station and asking a DJ, you know, what happened? Where did all these people go? And on and on and on. And they couldn't explain it. I don't believe a word of that. I said, "I don't believe a word of that. Brother, I believe they're going to be some backslid DJ. I said, I believe they're going to be somebody. I said, there'll be somebody to call and say, my mom's missing, my daddy's missing. This one's gone. Where are they at? They're going to give an answer and say, they've gone to be with the Lord. Say amen. Thank God one day." I said, "One day, sir, we're going to be walking around here. The next day, the next moment, we're going to be gone. We're going to be driving down the road. The next moment, hell will be saying, checkmate. But we're out of here. Thank God," I said, "we're out of here." I said, "The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." When they met one another, it wasn't how many had gotten Sunday school. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh. He's coming for those that are ready. For those that are ready. Elisha watched Elijah. Say amen. He watched him. They watched Christ as he went up. If that be anything likened to the catching away of the church, if, it's going to be an awesome thing, sir, to watch them caught up. Are you ready? You ready? You know, you two brethren, when we preached on hellfire and brimstone and the coming of the Lord and the praying through the Holy Ghost, we saw more results than what we're seeing now. The Lord's going to come. You know what Brother L.D. Moore said? Brother L.D. said he's going to be dead before the Lord comes. That's what he said. And I know a lady that is a holiness lady in one of our churches. She said God spoke to her. Said, you'll be alive when I come. And she is an elderly lady. Old Roberts was praying one time many years ago. In the process of praying, said, God, let him know I come any time, any moment. We all know that. Are you ready tonight? If the Lord... Are you ready? Are you ready? Do I know without a doubt in my mind that I'm ready to meet God? Do you know that? Let me see your hand all over this house. Do you know you're ready to meet God? If you couldn't raise your hand, it's going to be an awful thing to be left. It's going to be an awful thing to be left. Tell you what I want us to do. There's a lot of different ways I could have went, but it's the way we went. I want you tonight, if I want every one of us to come. I want us to find us somewhere to pray. I'm asking you to come. If you could not raise your hand, and you did not raise your hand, I'm begging you as much as a man loves, I love you as much as I love my own soul. I'm begging you tonight. You come and know you're right with God. You come and know you have prayed. We can know that we have passed from death unto life. I can do that. We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are here, but we are not here. I said, you and I have already made reservations to another world. We've made reservations to another world. Great God, help me to live like I'm going to that other world. If there's anything between you and God tonight, listen to me, sir. I say it at Trinity a lot. Nothing or nobody is worth going to hell over. Nothing or nobody is worth going to hell over. Without any song, without any music, the devil is telling you, you're checkmated. I'm telling you, God's got one more move left, and God can take care of any problem, anything you're facing. But I want to ask everybody, every visitor, whatever church you're from, I want us to come and find us somewhere, get on our knees, and talk to God. Come on up.